Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
I'll be reading from Luke chapter 3, verse 7 through 18. He said, therefore, to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruits that befit repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the multitudes have asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than is appointed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Rob no one by violence or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and all men questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether perhaps he were the Christ, John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, and the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. This week's lesson follows last week's reading from Luke, which introduced John the Baptizer in the first six verses. Here there's a citation from Isaiah. The verses 7 through 9 recall John's bold preaching. The next four verses, 10 to 14, are a report of three separate exchanges between John and different groups that put questions to him. 15 through 17 record John's answers to the Christological curiosity of the people, offering a prophetic declaration of the mightier one who is to follow him. 18 is both a summary and an invitation. John's words call us to change. Yet in doing so, they declare good news that altered lives are realities, not mere wishes, as a call to godly living. John's words have a prophetic ring. Nobody likes being told what to do. We note this when we have children who hit about two and then hit their adolescent years. Stubbornness reigns, and we struggle. But yet, we are told what to do most of our lives, either by our parents, by our teachers, by our bosses, by our spouses, yes, even that. We're told what to do exactly as John is telling people what to do. They've heard of his great preaching, and his baptizing, and they come to hear his word and experience his ministry. And his salutation is to call them a bunch of snakes. What he does, "You brood of vipers, who warned you about wrath to come?" That's pretty harsh. But so strong is his conviction in what he is called to do on behalf of God that he convinces them to listen after he has called them snakes. What should we do? And he tells them, this is what you should do. "Well, what should we do?" say the tax collectors. "Well, this is what you should do." "What should we do?" say the soldiers. What are we called to do with our lives as people of faith? Most of us, it has been said, and I forget the theologian who uttered these words, but I love this phrase. Most of us want an immensely close relationship with God. We seek to be God's advisor. We want to tell God what to do. We don't want God telling us what to do. But yet, that is what John is saying. The Spirit of the living God come into this world, come into our lives, must change us, leave us transformed and different. All evangelicals call it being born again. Well, folks, there is no other kind of Christian. If Jesus has not changed your life, then you are stillborn. Your faith is dead and lacks any form of real life. There's this wonderful story about an old, mean, rich man going to see his rabbi. And the rabbi takes him by the hand and takes him to the window and he says, "What do you see?" And the man looks out the window and says, "I see women with their children walking, wrapping their clothes around them to keep them warm." And then he takes him by the hand and takes him to a mirror and says, "What do you see?" "I see myself." "Ah," says the rabbi, "isn't it curious that the window is filled with glass, the mirror is filled with glass, but you add a bit of silver to that glass, and all you see is yourself?" That is why the people asked John, "What should we do?" If you have two coats, give one away. If you have more food than you need, give it away. He's telling people what to do. We're uncomfortable doing that in the modern church, especially this so-called liberal-leaning, progressive Protestant church that we're in. We don't want to tell you what to do with your money. We don't want to tell you exactly how to live your lives spiritually. Because, after all, isn't that the government's job? We've abdicated our faith, and we think it's the government's job. Or worse, we think it's television's job. I don't know about you, but I occasionally still watch a commercial, and I'll see a commercial, and I, about halfway through, and these are only 30 seconds, and I think, where have I lost my mind? I don't know what they're selling. Or worse, they're selling some drug, and I think, well, do I need to go to the doctor and see if I need that? People tell us what we need, what we want. All you want for Christmas is a brand new Lexus or Cadillac. In my case, Porsche. But that ain't happening. We don't need to be told what to do, we think. Well, according to John, somebody more powerful than he, because remember, they ask him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you the Holy One?" And he said, "Not even close. Not even a plastic replica on the dashboard of your Chevy. Somebody more powerful is out. And the demands are great for us as people of faith. John Wesley, in speaking about money, and he spoke a lot, probably saved England from a civil war. He and John Whitfield and John's brother Charles. Because in the 18th century, there was terrible social strife. And he spoke about money a lot because people were marginalized socially. And in one of his great phrases, it's very brief, earn all you can. Nothing wrong with that. Earn all you can. Save all you can. Give all you can. Not give what you think is right. Not give what you think the church deserves. But give. Because you can. Folks, if we aren't telling people what to do, we're following rather than leading. And the fact of the matter is, you don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to tell people they're going to burn. You don't have to tell people that they're sinners. But you have to hold a flashlight and say, you know, that's the path. That's the way to go. Here's what we're called to do. And that's simply what John was trying to do. And he paid for it with his life. Herod was so incensed that he had to end him, just as the state would take Jesus' life. Anybody who stands in the way of that kind of power has to be eliminated. We're called to tell people what to do in the name of love, not to nag them into consensus, not to bully people into agreeing with us, but to love them into a compassionate understanding of what God's claim and call means for each of us. It doesn't mean we call people sinners, no less than the Apostle Paul said that we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling before our God. That doesn't sound like somebody who wants to bully somebody theologically, but to bless them. And John is seeking to bless. I know it's still a little strange, as many times as I've read this, it's strange for me to think that John called these people a brood of vipers because he loved them. But love claims and calls us to do strange and extraordinary things. So, my brother and sister snakes, go and do the work and love of God as you exit this place. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.